Welcome to Courage Cocktail. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. Glad you could join us today. You are listening to WCOM LPFM 103.5 in Carrboro, North Carolina. You may also stream this radio show at www.wcomfm.org. Today we have two reservoirs of talent to draw from, and our show is called, quote, My Head is Spinning. Social media is swiftly transforming the way we work, relate to each other, and learn. Listeners, if you're anything like me, you may be tempted to confuse avoidance with safety. Don't! We have new medicine for this vexing problem. Stick around and you'll devise a pretty clear picture of social media. Where do we start? Where do we go? And how do we stay out of the dizzy land? My friend Becky Sansbury taught me a quip the other day. She said to me, Leanne, some things only make sense when you look at them in reverse. Well, this is where I am, and I wonder if you too may be sharing in my confusion. So let's talk about who's coming today on our show. Our format's going to begin a little differently with our new media. We're going to have one distinct twist. We are going to focus on the aspect of how social media can help small businesses flourish. Our first guest is Pat Howlett, who will shape this conversation. After our foundation is set to go, we're going to go ahead and jump into part two of the show, and we're going to include some more details. Yes, scary technical stuff. And that's all about a new form of social media called Google+. What is that? And how does it differ from Facebook, Twitter? And why do we really need to know anything about this stuff? One of our guests will help explain all of that part of the conversation. So let me first start by introducing my helpers in our Courage Cocktail Kitchen. First, Pat Howlett of Raleigh. He is the owner of Insider Networks, where his mission is to be involved in the creation and deployment of 263 micro local business networks focused inside the USA area codes to improve communications between other localists. To learn more about his work, check out his website at www.inside919.com. That way you'll see one in action. Pat's community goals include ways to leverage these networks for the benefit of local economies and something he calls the localist movement. Now, I'd also like to introduce our second guest. Our second guest is Nicole Murphy. Now, Nicole will be joining us in the second half of the show, but we'll be sitting in on this conversation, and we're all going to expect her to chime in. Nicole is owner of Talking Moose Media. And what she does is broadcast events via social media. So let's turn our mics back to Pat. Pat, thanks for joining us today on Courage Cocktail.
Leanne, great to be here. Great to be in Carrboro. This is a phenomenal facility.
Well, all right. We're gonna just start right in. You have to explain something to me. What is a localist, and do you need a license to be one?
No, you don't. And actually, most of us are already.
Oh, okay. Good
and
to know.
I'll simply say that when we live in a community like Carrboro or whoever, wherever you're listening, and someone were to ask you, you had a great friend come into town, your family's come into town, you want to show them the great things in your area. Chances are, if they ask for someplace to stay, you're not going to tell them, stay at the Holiday Inn. You may tell them to stay at a nice bed and breakfast that you know, or a nice locally owned hotel. You're not going to take them out to Chili's or TGI Fridays or one of the chain restaurants, because they have that where they're from. You'll probably taste to your local pizza place, your local coffee shop, and those kind of things. So a localist is really just someone who actually truly loves their area, understands that their businesses are vitally important to the schools, the taxes, the community, the property values, and businesses in general, and actively engages in those local businesses.
All right. So now you've got this unusual take on what is the most important nutrition for a local economy. And that take then would be how we use social media to kind of help flourish, help that community flourish. Tell me, what's the connection? Why should social media have any impact on local businesses?
Well, you know, I take a switch on the social media thing and say that's at the higher level. That's at that tier one, bigger companies trying to do national, regional, global kinds of things. My take is more social community. Now, when we change it from social media to social community, it has a real nice fit to a local community. When we change commercial radio to community radio, like WCOM, then we understand that that's going to be a little bit more rich variety. So what we try and do is understand that the local dentist or the local pizzeria or the local massage therapist or the local doctor, they have an opportunity now to do, the field has been leveled. They have an opportunity to have closer, richer connections with the people that they're already doing business with in all kinds of mediums. And so a doctor may find that the best way for them to connect with somebody in their local area is LinkedIn. And somebody that's a local writer or an author may find that Google Plus's authorship may be a great opportunity for them. And somebody that has a local club or a local sports bar may find that the stuff that Facebook allows from a social life is for them. So what we're able to do now from a local business perspective is the same thing that larger companies have had for years or decades, and we're able to actually leverage some of these same things because it doesn't really cost you anything to advertise in these places. It doesn't really cost you anything to make those better, deeper, richer connections with those you're already serving, with their friends that they would love to word of mouth talk about you, and with your own community.
Well, I'm approaching dizziness right now, and the reason is this. I get what you're saying, that we can now fit a certain all these tools that are essentially free advertising. But how do you choose which tool to use? You said that LinkedIn would be great for a physician and, you know, all these things. So each one of these social media products, channels, I guess is how we refer to them, have slight differences. Can you just kind of explain in broader terms?
Yeah, I think of all these things as communities. So I encourage anybody, a client or anybody I'm talking to drive around the neighborhood. And so if we're talking about LinkedIn, join the LinkedIn, drive around the neighborhood, see what kind of groups are there, see who's connected with you in your sphere there, see what they're doing, see the conversations they're having, the interactions they're having, and if it's a fit for what you do, both from a personal perspective and from a business perspective, then LinkedIn may be where you need to be. But if it's not, if it doesn't have to do with institutional, educational, corporate careers, LinkedIn probably isn't the neighborhood for you. But you may not want a walled community to live in anyway.
Right.
And so you may decide that to go and look at Twitter, and you find that a lot, and just look at the spaces and how these are playing in. You see a lot of news services and sporting organizations using Twitter quite regularly because it's a great way to get little bursts of information out there that doesn't really need a bigger story. And so if you're in those kind of spaces, so I guess what it is, follow success. Find people that are already in your space and what they're utilizing, and then go drive around the neighborhood, drive around Facebook, and understand this is a great place for me to have my sports bar because a lot of folks here are talking about their favorite teams. They're engaged in those things. So I say, listen to the conversations, join in the conversation. And one last thing, don't try and be everywhere. Don't try and be in every place.
And Nicole is nodding up and down. Oh, he's right leaning.
I wholeheartedly agree with Pat on that point.
All right. Now, don't be everywhere. So let me tell you, Encourage Cocktail Radio Show has a website. We go with www.friendlyfearnotebook.com. We have a Facebook page, and we have a Twitter following. And that's it. That's all I can handle. And I can't even profess that I have different types of fans coming in through different windows, so to speak. So you're saying that you choose a lane, stick with it, and work it hard.
Well, I'm going to say, and again, I apologize for the continued kind of focus on local, but if you moved into Carrboro,
right,
and you had lived in Chicago,
okay,
and you moved into this area, and let's say Carrboro is now Facebook or another community, and you try and join, you want to be involved, so you join the PTA, you join the Lions Club, you join the Rotary, you join the Chamber of Commerce.
BPW is what I joined.
Yeah, pretty soon you've been a joiner of everything, but you're not able to actually do anything in any of those areas. You're not really able to do stuff at the Lions Club pancake breakfast, where you would actually make deeper, closer relationships with people. Because you're dashing off to go over to the Rotary Club meeting, and you're still trying to get some work done in there, and so you're not richly involved in anything. So we wouldn't do that. Naturally, organically, we would not place ourselves in every organization in Carrboro that tugs at us, or that we look that has some kind of value to us or value to someone else that we could serve. So instead, we pick those things that are closest to our core, that are closest to our values and closest to our missions. Because if we meet some of those people, I guarantee you, if I meet some people at the Lions Club, they'll introduce me to some people at the Rotary Club. Right. And I'll meet somebody from the PTA. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon, by just getting a beachhead someplace in the community and bringing value,
all right,
and helping, I call them random acts of kindness, engage someone else's social media. Don't just try and be posted Patty.
Mm.
When you see someone else's stuff, give it a little bit of bump. If you hear something on this radio station, or you hear somebody on Leanne's show sometimes say something, and you know that someone else that you know would love to hear that, that's when you tweet that thing, or that's when you Facebook like it. And so when we can do those things, narrow cast, get down to what our basics would be in a small town community, act like you're in a small town community, although you're in a global environment.
You know, I think that we have found a compass here, and it's so refreshing to listen to that with clarity. The concerns that I've had in the past are kind of drifting away. So I'm going to summarize a little bit of this, and then I'm going to have to ask you, the summary goes like this. Choose your neighborhood, behave like a good neighbor, be interested in your community, make contributions of merit and value. And when you hear other people making contributions of value, chime in. But I wonder how you got to this point. How did you figure this out? Tell me a little bit about Inside 919.
Well, I'll back up a little bit from Inside 919, and I'm a small town guy.
Really?
And so I've never really lived in a big city. I've always lived in communities of less than 2,500 people until recently, and then I still live out in the sticks here in the Triangle area.
Right.
And so in an early time in my life, I understood that if you told somebody you were going to do things and you knew the barber, they did what they said they were going to do because there were only 2,500 people in town. If you didn't do what you were supposed to do, if you didn't follow your word, if you didn't deliver, if you didn't help a neighbor, then you really weren't in part of the community and you'd probably have to go find some other place. And so as social media came in, I lived in a small town of 894 people in the mountains of Colorado, a little town called Fraser. I think we even count some of the smarter dogs as residents, okay?
All right, if it works
but,
for you.
But the thing is, what we found is in a small mountain town, when it starts snowing and those passes start going things, in small places in Nebraska and Kansas, in small villages in Vermont, people cling together a little bit more. You know, social there is a barn raising.
Right. Well, it's also a level of safety and security.
Well, it's a way of belonging. So for most of my life, I've had the opportunity outside of a stint in the service where I saw a lot of stuff, but I've had have an opportunity to choose where I lived, and I've always chosen to live in small communities with engaged residents. And so the thing I saw as social media was happening is, most of them were walled gardens. If you didn't belong, you couldn't look over the wall and see what was happening to see if it was good for you. So you had to get an account. You had to enroll. And I have a firm belief that most of the people that I want to serve, the local micro business person, someone with less than 10 employees, someone with a practice, someone that every month is having to make their bacon, those people that I wanted to connect with were always going to make their money, 90-some percent of their money, within 10 or 20 miles of where they lived, where their computer was. And so them trying to spend a lot of time trying to get people from New Jersey and Idaho and Iowa and Florida to follow them really wasn't going to really do good for their business. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really see. I saw small groups of things in Twitter or in Facebook or in LinkedIn, but that was just little pieces in another community. So Inside 919, you have to live and work here. You have to be an Inside 919 in order to be one of our members.
All right. So now I'm listening to a philosophy of the localist. You're now explaining to me, Leanne, social media is more of a manifestation, a digital manifestation of relationship. And so you are a localist. You are clearly in support of small businesses inside a small community thriving and doing everything you can to help that, to slant that field into their practices growing or their business growing. But I can't help but wonder how there has to be some connection to the deeper world. In other words, we can grow small businesses, but there are occasions where clients may need to know that great ice cream brand in 919. And if they come and visit us, that's one of the first things they want to try. You know, there is some channeling between the bigger universe that social media is open to and the local guys. How does that take shape?
Well, first, a couple of things. I'm not against anyone shopping at Target or Walmart. I'm not against anyone flying, using Cree, which is a local company, LED company. Oh, yeah. They started here locally. They were a local company, and now they've got plants all over the world. They're a global company. So there's a lot of things we can't provide ourselves. I buy books through Kindle because that's how I read my books. So we're not, it's not the old kind of protectionism kind of thing. It's right. In a marketplace, there can be both. 50% of the economy resides in kind of a Wall Street business. But 50% of the economy that most people are locked out of resides within 50 miles of where you live. And so all I'm saying is that the playing field has never been even. I can't invest in this radio station if I knew it was the most incredible and I wanted to help this organization go to other communities. I can't unless I'm a qualified investor, the right kind of income, the right kind of assets. So we're locked out because of good rulings in the early part of the 1930s. Locked out because there were a lot of scams and a lot of bad things to, but I don't think Wall Street is risk-free either. Okay? So here's what I find. That great, I'll take this radio show again, the station. When you do something here, it's just in Carrboro. And if I drive 5 miles away, I cannot listen to it if I wanted to.
Not in the radio, not in your car.
Exactly. But here's what happens. Now it starts moving out. So it goes into a podcast, and somebody someplace else hears it. Here's what I've found. If you're a local business and you concentrate on creating real value and a real solution that people will trade money for in your local area, the easy part is going regional with that. The easy part is then going national or global. But if you try and create a national or global brand before you've created a really good Ben & Jerry's right in your own area, it's very, very hard to take that brand out anyplace else. So you're never losing anything by making a very good, solid, solidifying foundation of local business. The neat thing is the economy, the free market works when allowed. Right. And so what will happen is those small businesses, the little Bada wings right around the corner here, right. If they make incredible wings, you know, somebody in Pittsburgh may very well like them to grow there. And somebody in Wilmington may very well too. And pretty soon they're Starbucks. So I'm not against any of those things. What I am against is an unfair playing field from the Wall Street, Main Street. I believe that if we, anybody that's listening to this, to your station, to your show, if they would just move some of their liquid assets to their local credit union that's member-organized, more of a cooperative of money, we would have an economic stimulus program in all those communities because all those credit unions by task are nonprofit, and all those credit unions are run by their own board of members, and all those credit unions are tasked with loaning money in their local economy. And so we don't have to do a lot of things for us to really have a big impact. But we have to do some things. We have to do some things better. And so that's grow your business big. But if you're a small shop owner, I'll end with this. When was it ever a bad thing to be a shop owner or a small business owner? It's almost now you have to be an entrepreneur that wants to do an IPO and sell out to Google. Otherwise, you're not really a real deal business person. I think that's wrong.
You know, one of the many thoughtful things you've laid out for us here in that explanation is the connection between our investments and our stake in community. And what you're saying, and I'm sure you'll find a host of supporters, is that we may in the past have overlooked the value of supporting our local businesses, our local credit unions, at the forsake of that, which was not necessarily supporting our own communities growing and flourishing. But we do make these choices.
We vote with our dollars.
I cannot tell you, we do. Now, before we move into the next part of the program, I'm wondering, when you think about all the changes that have occurred with the social media and with this, you know, localists and the value of local businesses, where do you think it's going?
I think small local businesses have never been poised for a better bounty. I actually believe it's not the folks in the outlying areas say buy local because we got to keep the Walmart from here. It's actually folks understanding that local's good. Local food grown near your area is just better quality food. It adds more to your economy. It tastes better. It cuts down on transportation, which cuts down on fuel. It is just better and smarter. Local energy produced. There's Piedmont Biofuels down in Pittsboro.
We had them on the show.
Phenomenal. Absolutely. Organization. They have 400 families running on cooking oil, basically. And it's an immediate, just put it in your diesel. Don't change anything. That's fuel that actually is, they're taking a waste product of a local community, deep fat fryer oils and those kind of things, and making fuel out of it. And they have jobs there, and they have a ripple effect in their economy. There is a multiplier when a dollar, we did a study when I was mayor of a little town in Colorado. We did a study that was when a dollar stick comes over the pass, comes over Berthet Pass and lands here in our valley, what happens to it? And that dollar went around seven times before it decided to get into a car and head on down to Denver. Seven times that dollar came in our community. So that means if the tow truck driver did something like that, or the ski resort, that would go now to pay somebody to make a burger, or would go to the Crooked Creek Saloon for a beer at the end of the day. The thing is those dollars have multiplying effects that you cannot have when at the end of the day, when the button's batched out and the money goes to Seattle or goes to Silicon Valley or goes to Chicago or leaves our area, those dollars will rarely come back.
I had no idea it was like that. I just remember being in Heathrow Airport many years ago, and they said, don't drink the water. And so I said, why can't I drink the water? Not that I would. This water has been processed seven times, and you're washing your hands in water that's been processed seven times. So there must be some magic in that.
I don't know if you can call that water anymore.
Let me tell you, I was a little hesitant to even wash my hands.
That's like H2 blanks O.
And that's not a slap at London or Heathrow at all, but it reminds me that things stick around. And the value of sticking around, listeners, is this. We are going to go talk about a little PSA. And when you return, we are going to invite Nicole Murphy from Talking Moose Media to explain to us one very particular aspect of social media called Google+. We are insisting that Pat stay at the conversation, mic'd up, and listening in to how all this stuff plays into local economies. Stay with me.
Town of Carrboro Art Committee in Carrboro is pleased to announce the opening of a new exhibit in the Century Center Gallery on Wednesday, May 1st. This exhibit, titled I Am Saved, features work by Kimberly Pierce Cartwright, a local artist who experiments with a wide variety of media. I Am Save will run at the Century Center Art Gallery from May 1st through June 30th. Check it out.
Welcome back to Courage Cocktail. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont, and you are listening to your local radio station, WCOM-LPFM, here in beautiful downtown Carrboro, North Carolina. So glad you're here. Now, so far, we've set the stage to learn about social media in the broadest possible terms, but with a very specific focus of small businesses. Next, we turn to another local genius here in the Triangle, Nicole Murphy, the owner of Talking Moose Media. Nicole is here to help us learn something about a very particular new channel of social media called Google+. All of us who have been out on Google recently will see these things, but not many of us may know exactly what it is and how what it is and why does it matter. Nicole, you got to help us out here. Tell me, why does Google+ matter so much?
Google+ is so key if you are in business and you want to be found. I work with businesses and I help them broadcast their events. So the conversation always starts with, where's your target market? And it goes right back to what Pat was saying. A lot of small businesses are overwhelmed and they're not sure where their target market is. Well, we have a Facebook account and we tweet some things out sometimes and we know we should be on LinkedIn. And then there's this overwhelming look of their face and this panic. And it's like, we're just having an event and we want people to know about it.
Okay, so it's all about being found.
It is. And so one of the things that I talk to the businesses I work with is let's have your Facebook fan club. Let's be on Twitter if that's where you've already established relationships. But you don't necessarily want to preach to the choir when you're having an event. If those people are interested in your company and what is going on, they already know about the event. You just need to remind them about it. You want the people that you're not necessarily reaching in your area to find out about it. It pains me when I hear people say, oh, that was such a great event. That sounded like it was so much fun. I would have benefited greatly from it. How come I didn't know about it?
Mm.
So I started researching Google+ back in 2012 and really digging into how can businesses, small niche companies, get out and be found on the internet when people are looking for that subject. So I fell in love with Google+. Google+ is tagged as a social media company, but really it's the spine, it's the backbone of Google. Every single employee that works at Google has a hand in Google+. Their mantra is one update a day to one of their platforms. They are consistently listening, taking advice in, and adjusting their product so that it benefits the people that use it, which is a unique thing that companies do. So when you have a Google Plus account, it is locked in, and we'll focus on local a little bit here. So
sure.
Just assume that you're a brick and mortar business. When you have your Google Plus page and your Google Plus profile, anything that you post on there publicly is registered within Google. So if I plus one something, which means that's kind of the Facebook equivalent of like.
Okay.
That's registered. My name, Nicole Murphy, there's also a celebrity named Nicole Murphy. I want
there's
people,
another celebrity,
right,
you mean.
A more widely known celebrity.
Okay.
One of my main focuses was if somebody Googles my name, yeah, I want them to know what I do. So by working actively on Google, posting, interacting with people, when you Google my name now, you can go 30 pages deep into Google and the content is still about me. That's extremely powerful.
And that's powerful because we all turn to Google or to our websites, to that big page to say, I want to know more about something. We ask the question and pop, there you are.
Yes.
Okay. It sounds simple, but we've got to make sure that all of our audience is staying in touch with us here. So you now are telling me you have 30 pages of Google?
Yeah, you can just keep going.
Ooh. That's impressive, listeners. Let me tell you, I think you're done in 4 pages for Leanne McClymont.
Well, 4 pages is very impressive as well.
Not enough, evidently.
One of the features that I really like on Google Plus as well, especially if you are putting out a lot of content to both local audiences and audiences that could be more global, that are interested in your topic, is that you can break down who you are broadcasting what to. So there are certain posts that I only post to people that live in the Triangle because it is only relevant to them.
But how do you know that? Are they all members of a
there's
circle?
There's a filing system called a circle.
Okay.
They've also added communities now, which is nice because people are going to those communities instead of you having to find the people and put them in your own filing system.
Okay.
So going back to a brick and mortar, I'm gonna show Pat here. I went onto Google, because people usually don't say I'm going to Bing it just yet, and I Googled pizza, Carborough. On the left are the normal search results that you'll see. On the right, Amante Gourmet Pizza has a Google Plus local, probably they have a local page and they probably have now a business page within Google. They get the entire fold on the right side of the search results. They get a big picture of one of their pizzas. They get reviews. They get the hours. They get how expensive their pizza is. Let's
see. So this is like top billing is what you're saying.
It is absolutely.
It's all for free?
It is.
All for free.
It's only for the cost of whatever information that you put into the Google. Because let's be real, any platform, any service that you're using for free, that company needs something out of you.
Yes.
Google is in the game for search. So you need to understand that that's what they want your information. They want to know when I sign in, what am I searching for?
I see.
We won't get into it today, but they've even broken it down to if you sign out of your Google Plus account and you Google something, if you search for something, your results will be different than if you're signed into your Google Plus account. It's called personalized search. It's called Search Your World. They will pull up results based on who you are connected to through Google Plus and the subject that you are searching. So to talk about kind of local, there is a very strong representation of people that use Google Plus and that are active in Google Plus in the Triangle. We actually have the largest active member base that gets together on a regular basis in the country. So when my niece came and looked at UNC, I went onto Google Plus and I said, okay, let's see who lives in the area. I found someone that lived in Chapel Hill. I sent them a note and I said, this is what we're doing. We're going with this many people. This is the day. Where do you suggest to go to eat? And that is how I found. So you are building a network. You're building a community within Google Plus, and you're benefiting from every action that you do as well. So it's not even twofold. It's like tenfold. Every action that you do is really benefiting your company. Let's see.
So while you're doing that, I'm just going to summarize. So here you are. Your niece comes over. Hey, you know, Aunt Nicole, where are we going to go to lunch? We're visiting Chapel Hill. And you go to Google your laptop and you find somebody, a person, and ask them a direct question?
I went into Google Plus. Okay. In Google Plus, when you set up your profile, you can decide if you want to geotag your location or not.
Okay. All right.
And most people use Google Plus as a professional platform, and they want to be geotagged.
And geotagged for our listeners means that you're associated with the physical place where you are sitting.
Yes.
Okay.
And then that location is actually searchable within Google Plus. So you can look for dentists in Chapel Hill, and any dentist that is using Google Plus and has said, I'm a dentist and I live in Chapel Hill, will pull up in your search.
Wow. So how I could see a kind of a strange application here, but I need help to find a dentist for my father-in-law in Cape Cod.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do something like that with this geotagging?
So there is a search bar on the top,
uh-huh.
and you would just enter dentist and wherever.
Okay, it would be, let's say it's Dennis, Mass. And then all of a sudden, all of the Google Plus people will be up there.
Once you hit enter, it gives you an option to search everything on Google Plus. People in pages, communities.
I see.
And events that have been happening there. And then you can refine your search and decide, you know, and then make your conclusion on if you like this person or not, or
what. Right, what the reviews may be, mm-hmm. how many people use this dentist, or whatever it might be. So it's kind of similar to a white pages or a yellow pages. But it's not one-dimensional. Yellow Pages is only organized by alphabet, last time I checked. Mm-hmm. This is organized by region, by content. You can actually say, can you sort them based on, you know, longest in business, you know, most recent. But there are all kinds of variables that you can help make a selection that's appropriate.
Those are variables that I would say would come into play when you were looking at their page, or if you're actually searching on Google and not Google Plus. But again, if you're on Google Plus and you have an account and you're active, you're pretty much owning the right side of the results page.
I see.
You really can't argue with. And again, you don't have to be number one in the search result to get that large piece of the field. You could be number seven, but because you are active in Google Plus and you have that Google Plus local page, which I think that is, if you're going to do one thing, if you're a brick and mortar and you're going to do one thing, it is to be active, pushing that Google local page, getting people to place
right.
reviews. They don't need to be great. They just need to be there.
So now Pat's nodding his head up and down saying she's right. So why is it there was a rumor that everyone was talking about Google Plus, but no one was using it? What's going on there? Tell me, who do I believe?
You know, I just came from coffee and was talking to a scientist about this very topic.
Okay, good.
There is a specific culture on Google Plus, and that culture almost demands that you start the conversation, that you bring intelligence to the conversation. If you are not contributing, mm-hmm. you will not be included. So when you go out there, people are used to throwing something up on Facebook or Twitter, and that's all they had to do. Their effort stopped there, and then people would respond, or they wouldn't, and then they would go on and say something else. Here, you need to build relationships, and then you will get interaction. If you think about your behavior when you walk into a cocktail party and you really don't know anyone, you don't just walk up to somebody and say, I have pink shirts on sale today. That's not how you usually open up a conversation.
Right, wouldn't really
you
work.
You say, hi, my name is so-and-so, I have two kids, blah, blah, blah. You decide, and I think this is actually, this is another pausing moment where companies and people really kind of freak out a little bit when they're thinking about social media and their profiles. They actually have to sit down and figure out who they are.
Oh, that is painful. That is so painful. it is
very hard. Another reason why companies don't necessarily like to be a part of Google Local is because they're getting real feedback. It is a lot easier to just post a picture on Facebook or wherever and say, pizzas are $3 off today, and not have to listen to anything. But this is, you're getting real here. Your company culture is now being broadcast. The job that you do is now being broadcast, and you need to answer to that. And so a lot of companies need to clean house and figure out what they're doing first before they ever get onto any social media platform.
So it essentially is a way of examining the anatomy of a business, and a culture of a business, and then not just saying, well, we all know what we look and feel like inside here in this four small walls, then making it public. And the intention and the incentive for doing something like this is what? Why would I want to do that?
Well, first, I think it makes your business better. It forces you to be a better business owner and to really deliver the product that in your head you think you're delivering.
So it's like a transparency thing.
It really is. Because when you invite anyone to critique something you're doing, you know, it really shows what you are portraying and what you're doing versus what you think you might be portraying and doing.
Wow. Now, Pat, may I ask you to chime in here? In your experience living in a small community in Colorado and now in one outside of Raleigh, is there anything dangerous about this?
I think in anything, there's danger everywhere, okay?
It's Courage Cocktail, Leanne.
Exactly. But fear not. Okay. Move forward. But one of the things that you get is you get the opportunity to create your profile. You get the opportunity to share what you want to share. You get the opportunity to say, this is my phone number or this is my other phone number. You get the opportunity to say, this is the amount of information I'm going to give you, but I'm not going to give you anything on the other side of this. Mm-hmm. So if anybody believes that without putting up a profile on LinkedIn or Google Plus or whatever, that somehow or another you're off the grid, your information is already out there in databases that are being sold to more companies than would want what you have. So we the privacy, a lot of people have a fear of danger for privacy. Well, privacy left the building with Elvis. Privacy is gone and has been for a while.
It's true.
This is a way for you to actually say, you may have heard all this stuff out there, but this is my flag. Yes, we do pizzas for $3, and some people complain about that. But when we get a complaint, we fix it. We address it.
So it's almost like when I was a little girl, I went to the school called St. John's School. It was a small Catholic school outside of Boston in Canton. And on one side of the report card, it was these letters, you know, it was always letters. And in fact, I remember getting very few pluses or minuses on those letters. It seems to me that they were all letters. But then there was this dangerous part on the other side of the report card.
The comment section.
The comment section. Oh, my gosh. That's where it was going to be the trouble. So I'd hand the report card to my mother with my thumb over the part that said, can try harder. And instead of having that, no, she can't try harder, there's always one little more box. Well, she could try harder just by a little bit. So this is what Google Plus is feeling like to me, which is exquisitely valuable for a consumer and also for a student.
And for the business.
Well, that's what I mean, for the business, for the person producing
Absolutely.
It. So it's a qualitative assessment of, you know, not only this is our content, this is what we do, we deliver pizzas, we make them fresh with great ingredients, but when something goes wrong, this is how hard we're trying to keep you happy.
Because we've had the opportunity in a consumer market for decades to speak poorly of a business, to not go back to it, to share that word of mouth with our friends and say, their pizza, yeah, it was $3, but it was burnt or didn't have any cheese on it. Mm-hmm. So that's been a problem for local business owners for a long period of time because they never had focus groups or the ability to really go out there and do data research. Well, this actually is your data research because most small business owners sometimes go out of business because they just didn't have the data from the marketplace coming in. So this gives you an opportunity, good, bad, you know, pretty or not, to understand where your business is. Now, most folks that are looking at these things have to understand that people that have a complaint are more likely to complain about something than people that had a most incredible righteous experience. And so you have to take some of these complaints with a grain of salt. But I usually say that if a business doesn't have some kind of complaint, if they haven't made somebody upset along the way, it's probably not very truthful.
You know, from a technical aspect, if you have only 5-star reviews, you can be flagged by Google because they know that's just a load of crap.
One of the things that while Nicole was sharing some things, and she took the Imani pizza, Google has been trying to do local for a long time. They got it wrong for years and years.
No, when you say they got it wrong, what do you mean by that?
Well, because they never
professional assessment.
Well, because Google is a company out of California, and it was easy to interrogate data and text on the web and understand that is about bicycles and those pages are about sporting goods or whatever. But it was very hard for them to understand who's really local and what's the difference between the Imani pizza and the Pizza Hut.
Right.
Okay, what's the difference between local and those kinds of things?
And then so, service-based companies as well.
That's exactly right. So what this happened, when she did that search for Pizza Carborough, and they showed up in that right-hand column, and folks had been able to see that, that used to be eight ads that people were paying for. Imani Pizza, just because of that one tweak, is now having thousands and thousands of dollars of visibility. They didn't pay for it all. All they did is they jumped in the pool, said the water's fine. They jumped in and they started providing the data that was required. Because if you think about it, Google does not want to provide a search that's Carborough Pizza with Pizza Hut and Domino's and Papa John's. They actually want to provide a local experience. And they know we will leave them in an instant because we left Alta Vista, Lycos, InfoSeek, Yahoo. We're not loyal to any of these organizations. So if they don't get their search right, we'll move to somebody else. We will Bing it on or whatever.
Right.
But right now, they're allowing folks to have such a deep, embedded, everybody would see that. On Facebook and LinkedIn, you have to be logged in there. The only time you see stuff over there is if you're in the walled garden.
Right.
What Google has done has been able to open up the walled, fall those things down and say, if you do stuff over here and you do it in a good, right way, we're going to drive traffic through our number one search engine. Keep in mind, Google still makes more money in a month than Facebook makes in a year.
Oh, that's putting it kindly.
I'm being very kind.
And just think about the power of having Google promote you. They are grateful that you are using their service. And if they see that you are doing a good job and providing what they ask of you, they are going to bat for you.
So I'm been using, and listeners, I may need you all to weigh in on this by emailing me or by going out to my Facebook page or the website. But I'm beginning to think here, Nicole and Pat, that I might need to build my presence on Google Plus for this very Courage Cocktail radio show.
Absolutely. I mean, Google Plus, I think, is the most powerful tool that exists right now for your reputation management. And
tell me about what do you mean by that, the reputation management. That, again, is those scary words.
Okay, so Pat talked about how your privacy left the building about 50 years ago or more, and people just haven't thought about it. When you bought a house, the information is out there. People can search on it. I think that's one of the most common questions that I get is, do I use my home address? Do I use this address? It's so scary. Somebody's going to find me. Guess what? Somebody can already find you, and they have been able to find you for the past 30 years. Nothing's happened yet. Now, you're not in control of all those property tax records. You're not in control of all those things that are going on. You are in control of what you put on Google Plus. You are in control of every single keystroke, plus one, comments, and post.
So what happens if I were to start making things up about that? Like, for example, saying, well, we know Courage Cocktail is a popular show, but let's just pretend that everyone in the United States listens to it, and I wanted to write that. Are there some downsides to authenticating this content?
Let me just jump in real quick.
Both eyebrows were listed.
Because the thing is there's probably... this probably weighs the scale in truth much more. Because here's the thing.
Tell me.
If you were to do that.
Uh-huh. And I'm not going to. But if you
were to do,
audience.
If you were to do that, and or Imani were to say, we're the best, most profitable pizza place, not in Carrboro, but the whole country.
Okay.
Here's what you have. You have a lot of people out there that are going to test that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to say, it's like Gary Hart saying, I don't fool around, and you find them on the monkey business. Okay? The
wow.
thing is
you
when
are
you,
aging me right now.
When you
really
say,
don't.
That's Colorado playback, but when okay. you say, when you start testing things and you go into the marketplace with a untruth or a lie,
yes.
the marketplace has a really great ability to find out that lie.
Oh,
that
I agree.
It didn't
agree
used
with
to have
you.
In a yellow page ad or some of those other more controlled things. So it actually is a scrubber.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when Nicole says reputation manager, it actually allows you to actually for the first time, most likely if as an author or radio interviewer, it allows you the first time to actually have a say in what's
yes,
being said out
absolutely.
There about you. And so you'll find that what will happen is if you did that, you the folks that come to bat for you, and we see this all the time, early on, they'll leave you too as it's known that, no, you're not the biggest. No, you don't reach 10,000 people. No, the advertisers aren't getting what you say they're going to get. They're going to know, and you know what? Your career in radio
right.
was a self-inflicted wound.
Oh, I'm...
You know, so it's an opportunity, right?
Yeah, just be honest. Be who you are. Stand on your knowledge. Stand on your experience. And be transparent. It's not difficult.
Well, you know...
just do a good job.
It's letting the truth speak to power. Everyone's da, sitting da, da. Here at this table. We're expecting some kind of hallelujah. I think we've had that. But when you let truth speak to power and you've given it your best, and we were blessed, this community radio station is so fortunate because we exist. But the members that are making it work have this commitment, which is, have I served my audience today? Did we do what we wanted and promised to do? Have we done our research? Have we found talented guests? Well, obviously we have. but I recognize that culture. And I have to tell you that maybe the renaissance of what's happening here in terms of human development has less to do with all these shiny whistles of Google Plus, Facebook, Twitter, and more to do about speaking the truth and finding people who care. And I think that, Pat, when you were talking in the early half of the program about a small community, we're from Manhattan. And I have to tell you, all right, this only somebody who could live in Manhattan would know this. Your community may be one block. But you know those doormen, you know all the cleaning ladies, you know the dry cleaning people. You actually, if you're lucky, you may know some of the homeless people who come by and say hello, checking in on you. And you have your community. It's very, very teeny, teeny little spot, but it may reflect as much as 12,000 people in a block. But your sensitivity, the minute I crossed over one street and got into my little block area, it was, okay, let's look around. How's everyone doing? You know, you begin this, you're feeling, there's a deeper sense of connection. And I always felt that I want to know what's going on in my neighborhood, whether it's a small town in the pass out in Colorado, or in this case, it was 86th Street. And I think that you've done something marvelous on our show today. You've brought me into a much deeper dialogue with how these tools that are out there can help me manage the information I want my listeners to know. And this would be very true also for our WCOM radio station, too. So I know time is of the essence, but I have to ask you, where is this stuff leading? I'm going to ask Nicole first. Nicole, where are we going with stuff? Things like, you know, Google Plus. In a few years, maybe in 16 months, we'll be talking about something else. But where is it going to?
There's so many different ways that this is improving our connectivity. But I just want to touch on you know, we got excited for 20 minutes about one aspect of Google Plus. There are nine, maybe others. I'm not counting them right now. But one of the things that I recently had an experience with Google Plus was I worked with a local reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I just turned around. I was actually sitting next to her at the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
And which is a big deal in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I heard that she was on the phone. It sounded like she was a reporter. And I said, you know, I really want you to learn about Google Hangouts on Air. I think it's very valuable.
I see. This is the fault line between social media
and human
media.
Yeah.
Right.
And Sarah Hill coins it human media. But to speed it up, we had a couple of conversations about it. She looked into it. There's other avenues and different, there's live stream and whatnot. She ran the Boston Marathon. Without the information that she had, she would have never been able to broadcast from what happened. She, having researched it and knowing that there were products out there, she didn't use Google Plus Hangouts on Air because of the situation.
Yes.
But she was able to, she was not harmed. She had already finished the race. She was able to go back and live stream what was going on and report on the situation. So we're breaking down a lot of barriers. We're putting, you know, we're making reporters out of normal people. I coined Google Plus as the platform where you can meet the heroes of your world. You know, where you can, you know, where I was able to sit face to face in a hangout and talk to someone that worked for Lucasfilms, me being this tiny little person, because of our connection on Google Plus and that we had, you know, similar interests. So that is kind of where it's going. It's breaking down. It doesn't matter if you live in the Triangle, you can work with somebody in Australia. You can work with somebody in Canada and you can collaborate with that. So we're moving from this local economy to a global.
Right. And it's Pat, I'm going to ask you to kind of help us put a bow on today's show. I think that Nicole is saying it, what used to be either or, local or global, is now both and. And maybe you could help us. Where do you think it's all leading?
Well, I think there's places for both of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do believe that that small is the next big. And I do believe that what people are finding, you say, where is this going? I'm 56, and I've been in technology for most of my life. But there's a lot of folks that are 56, and they're screaming during some of these changes and evolutions. But the folks that are behind us, those 30, the 20, and youngers, this is what naturally, natively, organically resonates with them.
It does.
So
it does.
This isn't a fad.
No.
So where's it going? It's going to get tighter. It's going to get smaller. But you find out, even young folks are finding out when they know everybody and lots of people are following them, they still have a couple of friends.
That's absolutely,
you know,
true.
So it's still smaller groups of people connecting.
Well, I want to thank you both. Oh, it's been an extraordinary journey and a travel trip right through all of these, the heart of the issue, which is relationships. I want to thank Courage Cocktail, our underwriter, Triangle Swim School of Cary, North Carolina, for their continued support of our radio show here at WCOM LPFM. To learn more about the Triangle Swim School, go to their website at www.triangleswimschool.com. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week showcasing Dr. Hope Hills, who is a leadership psychologist. You bring the lunch, and I'll bring the courage cocktail. This is Leanne McClymont. You are listening to your community radio station, WCOM LPFM 103.5.